Verse number 18 of Proverbs 27. Verse 18 of Proverbs 27, the scripture says, "Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof, so he that waiteth on his master shall be honored." You have a tree and it bears fruit. If you take good care of it, you'll get to eat of that fruit. We were sad when the peach tree out here finally gave up the ghost. It split and we propped it up and then finally it just went away. Those peaches right here on the place were really, really nice. Now the apple tree, it still bears and we enjoy it. And when Brother Ted Tweet was here as part of his rent payment, no, he was willing. He had told me some years ago that he would help me to prune the apple tree, and when he was here, he did. So I didn't do that to it. Brother Ted did that to it. Okay? If it turns out good, then yeah, I ask him to do it. If it turns out bad, he did it. But he knows what he's doing with that. He understands that you take care of something. It's an element of stewardship. It's a thing that, you mean that's in the Bible? Yeah, that's right. And then there's a parallel to that that the scripture brings out, the Lord brings out. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. We don't think of our work from the standpoint of masters. And our nation, the land in which we've been born, is different. It's a different day than what has been in many places for many, many centuries and millennia over the earth. You know, we don't have masters per se. We're blessed with freedom to a point in our country, but we do have bosses. We do have those that we work for, and if we tend to our bosses and what they want, what they've hired us for, what they look for us to accomplish, it speaks to the point that we should have bosses in work, shouldn't we? Or should be maybe even industrious enough or blessed such to have work that we, even a business owner has a boss, and that's their customer, right? He that waiteth on his master shall be honored. We do well in our work. We seek to work well. We seek to do well. You know, we will be blessed, and we'll certainly be blessed and honored of the Lord, won't we? Maybe we just have a terrible boss. We've all had some of those, just the bosses that weren't good, and or known of such. But the Lord, if we will still yet do what we're to do, the Lord will take care of us, won't he? And he will bless, because we need to live and work heartily as unto the Lord, the scripture says. There is a reward for doing what is right and doing what's appropriate. Now, take care of a fig tree and you'll have figs. Don't take care of it and you won't have figs. Won't be there. Take care of your master and he will take care of you. And of course, maybe we wouldn't have a boss or a supervisor that would do us well, but our heavenly Father, our heavenly Master, he will take care of us indeed. And we need to remember that we're working for him. Verse number 19. I found this to be an interesting verse. As in water, face answereth to face. Okay, have you ever looked in that clear, still water? Where the light's right, you can see your reflection. We can even consider about looking in a mirror, okay, and we see ourselves. You've heard me say it before that, I heard it said, and I believe that it's so, that when we look ourselves in the eye, in the mirror, we see our souls. We know the truth, God knows the truth, and there's a place and a way there that nobody else can know and meddle with, okay? We know what's on the inside of ourselves. And the Lord knows that. As in water, face answers to face, so the heart of man to man. Okay? And so that heart is talking about the seat of the emotion or that which is within us, the center of us. And you know what? We know the truth. As it is in life, people want people can fake each other out. We can fake each other out. We can't fake God out. And some people, and I remember my parents telling me when I was little, it said when I took to not telling the truth at times, they would say, Jimmy, don't lie to yourself. We can lie to ourselves. But really, when we look ourselves in the mirror, in the eye, that's you. That's who you are. There's no more intimate understanding of self than that. Because we're here, you know, I'm here before you, and my eyes are in my head, and I don't see my face. Okay, I'm looking out at you. But when I look myself in the mirror, I look myself in the water, then there's a connection there. You know, some people don't want to look people in the eye. We do need to look people in the eye when we speak to them. Don't want to have a stare down, okay? But it is appropriate to connect. It can show genuineness when we look one another in the eye. And when I say show, I'm talking about it being real, okay? Not being false, not being feigned, but being real. You look yourself in the eye in the mirror and you see, I believe, your soul. You know the truth and God knows the truth. And remember, in connection with this verse, the verse in Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. We are born into this earth with a spirit that is dead. Scripture is clear about that. And it is by the Spirit living within that a person has fellowship with God. That's the reason that we need salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need that indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He makes us, in the spiritual sense, alive. And in that, we can fellowship with the Lord. But you do have your soul, and your soul is very much alive and real. And the soul is very much in need of salvation and forgiveness of sins. The soul is eternal. And I beg of you, don't ignore the need and necessity of your soul. If you're here without Christ, you need your soul saved, because you've been created eternal and you're going to live somewhere forever. And don't neglect about the need of your soul. I mentioned this at the jail the other night, and the Lord gave me this some years ago. I think maybe I've shared it here before. Consideration of how it is with men upon the earth. And it's such a blessing to be born into a family that is in one of the Lord's churches and be brought as a child to hear the Word of God and the truth of God's Word and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a blessing indeed, because there's a world of people that don't have that. And there is yet, because of that responsibility that's there. But here's generally how the world works regarding their soul. They'll go to a person and someone that they think that they can trust, and they'll rely on them to tell them what condition their soul is in. Okay? Like a universalist priest. You know what I mean by that? I mean a Catholic priest. Catholic and universals, those are synonyms. So they're the same thing. The world's full of people, has been full of people, that would go to a priest to find out about the condition of their soul, or some other minister, or some minister so-called that thinks that they could tell them whether they're saved or not, or someone that would say to them, okay, you know, something's happened, something's been said, something's been done, and they say, okay, you're saved. The only one that can, only ones that know about the salvation of a soul is that soul in the Lord. Yeah. And so they'll take the greatest thing that they have, the most valuable, the most precious possession that they have in their soul, their existence from God. And they'll entrust that to another and claim what they've been told and go on their merry way. Yet if I would say to you, give me $1,000 or give me $5,000, and I promise you I'll do well with it. I'll double your money in some period of time. Just trust me and give me $5,000. Would you do it? And don't ask any questions. Just trust me. You can trust me, right? Give me $5,000. Give me $500, and I promise you I'll double it in just a short period of time. You're going to ask questions, aren't you? Going to be skeptical, aren't you? Going to wonder if it's illegal. Maybe, well, with me, I hope you wouldn't think it was illegal, but it could be. But, you know, if someone would make that offer, but there's going to be questions. We just don't do that, do we? A person will hold back on hundreds or even thousands of dollars and not trusting someone and a promise that they would make to make them great gain with it. But yes, they'll take their soul and they'll just entrust it to anybody, anything, any whim, a commercial on TV. What, one service at a church, so-called. Isn't that crazy? But that's the way it works, isn't it? Well, brother so-and-so, 20 years ago, told me I was okay. You better know if you're okay between you and your God. Not what brother so-and-so said, or priest so-and-so, or Monsignor so-and-so, or whatever. But I find that very interesting, and how it is with man. Oh, naturally we are indeed self-destructive, aren't we? In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 20, hell and destruction are never full. They're never full. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. In Revelation chapter 21, verses number 6 through 8, and he said unto me, it is done, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely, and he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part, and it's a very, very small part. Understand? It's a very, very small, seemingly a very, very small piece of real estate. It's crammed. Remember, it's called a lake, not an ocean. It's not called a sea, but it's called a lake. All whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Hell and destruction are never full. They're just the right size. Isaiah 5, verses 13 through 14. Therefore my people are going into captivity because they have no knowledge. And their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself, and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory, and their multitude, and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. It fits. It's never full, but it just fits. Proverbs 30 goes on later in the book of Proverbs in verses 15 and 16. The horse leech hath two daughters crying, give, give. And I think that's because of the way the horse leech is made and how it can hang on to what its host is. It preys upon them. There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things that say not enough. The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, it is enough. fire is never satisfied, and the hell and the destruction that are there are never, ever full. It'll never end. Hell and the lake of fire will never cease. They will burn, those that are there will burn and burn and burn forever. Our death, the grave, it's always looking for another. Are you ready to die? Are you ready to meet your Lord? Give consideration to that. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. In Ecclesiastes, I didn't put this scripture down here. Let's see if I can find it quick. I don't know if I can or not. It's a parallel passage to this. I can't think of where it is. But in Ecclesiastes, it talks about the eye never. Okay, very good. I was looking too far back. There you go. Thank you. Ecclesiastes 1:8. I meant to put that passage there, but didn't. Ecclesiastes 1:8. Thank you, Brother Mark. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. That's the reason, pow! We always... I know somebody that would... two that were married, I won't tell you who they are, but one spouse would complain about the other that there would be something that would sound like a gunshot, and then the other one would stick their head out the door to look and see what's going on. Because why? We want to know what's going on. Or there's something going on. You know, you've heard of rubbernecking on the road, right? We want to see, well, what's going on. It's just very hard to be controlled, and there's some great thing going on over here. The smoke is flying and fire is going, and for us to just drive around, we've got us. The eye's never full of seeing. The eye always wants to see. And they're never sad. They're always looking for one more thing. That's the reason we're so subject and so sensitive to the use of media, right? The hearing and the seeing, because we like to see. We can't stand for somebody else to know and us not know, right? Isn't that the way it is with us? And so it is. Hell and destruction are never full, and so are the eyes of man are never satisfied. Verse number 21 of chapter 27. As the fining pot for silver, that's where it's refined, the furnace for gold, because it needs a higher temperature, so is a man to his praise. It's just a fit, right? We love praise. It's just, we've got to watch it. We got to watch and make sure that we don't let that set us back or hurt us. May we not rise up in pride in our own conceit. There are promises in the scripture that we've looked at that faithfulness will bring praise and honor that the Lord will bring. But we just need to be always thankful in that, not self-sufficient or filled with self-pride. What we have, we've been given. And we've been blessed with. And if we can have some kind of fanfare or fame, let it be had to the honor and glory and praise of our God. Because it's He that's worked it in us. Verse number 2 of this chapter. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth. A stranger, and not thine own lips. Wait on the Lord. Verse 22. Though thou shouldest bray a fool and a mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. The condition of the fool, it's terrible. We used to have a mortar and pestle, and you're maybe some of you are familiar with that. I know Brother Doug is. What you do with a mortar and pestle, it's going to be something, it's going to be made out of... it's going to be very hard. The one we had was made out of marble, I think. And you know what you do when you put something in a mortar? And you take the I think that's right. The pestle is the handpiece. And you go, first thing you do is you got something in there solid and go, dunk, dunk, dunk. You beat it up. And then after that, I wish we still had ours because I was going to bring it. And that grinding sound, you start, then you, when you get it fine enough, you start grinding it. And those of you that like fingernails on chalkboard, it's about like that. And so that would have been enjoyable. But it just, somebody listening to this will really get a kick out of that, won't they? But that's the fool. You put a fool in a mortar with a pestle. Their situation, their foolishness so abounds in their heart, and they're so far from obeying what the Lord says and what is right and reasonable and just, that you put them in there and pounded them and then ground them around in there. They still won't get it. Don't be a fool. May God help us so we know not be a fool. Thou should bray. That word bray means to butt or to pound. That first action that you do with the big chunks. And you get them down, then you start grinding it down. Though thou shouldest bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle. Evidently in ancient times of that time, they would maybe take wheat and grind it that way. Okay, if maybe in the home possibly, or for a small, aren't you ladies glad you can buy wheat at the grocery store? But though you do that with a fool, put him in the mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. Boy, that's bad off. May the Lord help us that we hear the Lord. See, that's the difference between being foolish and not, is listening to what the Lord said and bringing that to life, to living life, is what God says is so. And then verse 23 through 27, this is again dealing with stewardship. You know, the Lord says in what, Matthew chapter 6, we don't need to worry about tomorrow. There's enough evil in that day, and it'll take care of itself. We need to rest in the Lord and trust in the Lord. And as it is with all things, is balance. It doesn't mean not to plan, but we just don't need to put our stake in the things of this life. We got a big bank account. I hope you do. But it can go away tomorrow. If they have that electric storm, or you know, all the media in the world somehow is erased, it can go away tomorrow. Or great illness and sickness can come upon us, and we can use and spend everything we have to try to stay alive. It can happen, can't it? We need to rest in the Lord. We need to do with what He gives us, and we need to work, make sure we're working and pursuing that which is right before the Lord, what He gives us ability to do, what He calls us to do. We need to put everything in its right place. And listen, that's a challenge, isn't it? It is a challenge, being a human being, to keep everything in its right place. But that's what we need to do, and the Lord can help us to do so. It says here, be thou diligent to know the estate of thy flocks. You've been given some flocks. You need to know about what's going on with your stuff. You need to know about it. Need to be diligent in it. But don't need to lose sleep over it. And look well to thy herds. It's kind of just the same thing with the fig tree. Take care of the fig tree, and you have figs. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation? Just because you've got riches doesn't mean they're going to stay. And think about the Jews and how it was with them in Europe in the 1920s and 30s and on into the 40s. Many of them in many countries very wealthy and were happy to get out of all that thing with Hitler and World War II, just to get out of that with their lives. In a matter of just a few years, their whole lives changed, and life was all that many hoped to just get through with. Riches are not forever, but the Lord is forever, isn't he?
Amen.
And the Lord, remember how it was with Job? The Lord brought Job up, and then the Lord had a thing he's going to work in Job, and then he had a thing in Job that he's going to prove to Satan. And Job was brought all the way down, financially and physically, as we would say in this life. But then the Lord brought him back up, just like that. He did it, because it's these things are not forever, but the Lord is forever. Doth the crown endure to every generation? Solomon, maybe he's challenging his children. That's the direct context here. Children, just because I'm king doesn't mean you're going to be king. And just because you have privilege because I am king and you're in my house doesn't mean you'll always have privilege. The hay appeareth and the tender grass showeth itself. The herbs of the mountains are gathered. When fruit comes on, it's gathered by us, and then those plants just wither and die away, don't they? The lambs are for thy clothing. That's the provision of the Lord. And the goats are the price of a field in trading. In trading, you can trade off goats and then buy land and do business. And thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food, for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance for thy maidens. The Lord's provision. He expects us to take it and use it and gain and do well, always looking for His help and His blessing, and always seeking His face in everything in life. Be a good steward of what the Lord gives. And that's what we need to do. We need to godliness with contentment is great gain. What the Lord's given us, that's what we need to use, and use well. In Proverbs chapter 28, a couple verses here. Let's take a look at these. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Driving down the road, driving down the road, see a policeman, put on the brake. Why are you put on the brake for? Not speeding, are you? If you're doing right, there's no reason to fear the police officer, is there? Why fear the police officer? I've known that of some that see a police officer and see a highway patrolman and be looking at him. Why look at him? You're not doing wrong, are you? Don't have stolen goods in the vehicle, do you? There's no need to fear if you're doing right. There's a cop. So what? I'm glad they're out. If we drive and obey the laws of the land and do well, we can see them and wave at them when they pass by, right? Guilty conscience. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. There's not even a pursuit at hand. But they know about what they've done, and they're waiting for somebody to catch up with them. But the righteous are bold as a lion, going about things, doing well and doing right. Verse 2, for the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. But by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. Did you know that our Constitution said that we were to have czars for different departments? It doesn't say that we're to have czars for anything. But we've transgressed, haven't we, as a land? And we got a lot of people wanting their hand in the pie. And all of those offices are paid. Paid by the government. That equals you and me. Each one that pays taxes. And that's what we've got here. Just another aspect of what's going on in our country. For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. May God be merciful to our country and give us leadership that has sense to pursue what's right and righteous. And we need to pray that way. We do, because we don't have it now. But by a man of understanding and knowledge, may the Lord give us that. May He be merciful and give us that. We don't deserve it as a nation, but may He give us that. The state thereof shall be prolonged. Verse 3, I found this verse interesting. A poor man that oppresseth the poor is like a sweeping rain which leaveth no food. See, the poor man knows where every little bit of anything that's of any value or anything, where that's at. And when they oppress the poor themselves, that's the way it is. It's like a sweeping rain. Everything, every little bit and every corner is going to be gathered up, and there will be nothing left. And it happens. They that forsake the law, verse 4, praise the wicked. But such as keep the law, contend with them. This is talking again about calling evil good and good evil. In Proverbs 17:13, whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. We need to remember that. In Isaiah 5, verse 20, woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We don't need to be found of those. Those that forsake the law, praise the wicked. May the Lord help us that we not be found that way. Chapter 17, verse 15, he that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord. It's abominable to call good evil and evil good before the Lord. And that same chapter in verse number 26, also to punish the just is not good, nor to strike princes for equity. And the government again of our land is found in the middle of this kind of behavior, isn't it? They that forsake the law, praise the wicked. We've got a forsaking of the law in our administration, and really in all the branches. They forsake the law that's at hand, looking to make other laws. We just need to keep up what we have and do away with that which is bad. But listen to this: they that forsake the law, praise the wicked. But such as keep the law, contend with them. And may we do that. May we contend with them about the law that is at hand, whether it be of what the Lord says, or may it be within the leeway and provision that we have in our own country. May the Lord help us in that. Our country is going away. And may the Lord bless the people of God just to stand up and say what's right in the opportunity and the place that we have. We need to. If we don't, the Lord's people don't, there'll be nobody that will. May the Lord help.